Our first guest is Al Williams. Al, glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Al and Cynthia Green. Cynthia, glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Al and Cynthia are two of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit brought against the city of Fresno by the homeless. And they're going to be talking a lot about that because it's been in the news and it continues to be in the news. Joining in with us, representing the ACLU, is an ACLU attorney, Michael Richard, a staff attorney, who has something to do with a homeless suit also brought against the city of Fresno. So take it away. Tell us what's been accomplished, how this came to be, and what you're doing, and optimistic or pessimistic, how do you feel about it?
Well, I guess the easiest way to start this is to let Mike be the forerunner. He's the expert at it. So, Mike?
Well, I don't know whether I'm the expert, but I'm glad to be able to be down here. I was actually down here today working on the lawsuit. And just to give some brief background, last year, the middle of last year, was brought to our attention that the city of Fresno was conducting what could charitably be called sweeps of areas where homeless people were living. And the information we got was that the city would come in sometimes with absolutely no advance notice and really come in with heavy equipment, with community sanitation workers, and would remove everything that was in these areas. So you'd had an area where people were camping out, people were trying to live with all of their possessions, because these, of course, are folks who don't have homes or storage sheds to put these in. And if they were there, they would be essentially shooed away by the city workers and police. If they didn't happen to be there, they'd come back to find what had happened. And in both cases, the city would make a clean sweep of the area and would remove everything ranging from what was obviously litter to much more harmfully, things that obviously weren't litter, from people's tents to shopping carts that were covered very neatly and clearly contained people's personal property, up to perfectly functional bicycles and other things that simply nobody could mistake for garbage. But they would treat them as garbage, treat these things as garbage, and immediately scoop them up and throw them in the back of a garbage truck, hit crush, and that would be the end of it. And I'm sure that you'll hear more about the effect that this had on the people who were being violated like this. We very fortunately were able to come in and ask the federal court to put an immediate stop to it, which the judge did, issued a temporary restraining order. We then had an evidentiary hearing that spanned several days over the course of several weeks, in which both we put on evidence and the city put on evidence. Both sides had an opportunity to show the judge exactly what was going on and to let the judge make an informed decision. After hearing these days of evidence and some extensive legal arguments, Judge Wanger ruled that the city had been violating people's constitutional rights and ordered the city to stop. And right now we are still involved in the lawsuit, trying to ensure primarily that this never happens again to the people of Fresno who don't happen to have homes. And quite frankly, we're also trying to get them some compensation for the harm that was done to them over the years of the city policy.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great synopsis. Cynthia, we haven't heard from you yet. What's your reaction? What happened? You know, how do you feel about this?
Well, so I am very happy that something is being done, and I would prefer that it speeded up, but that's the system. So I'm happy that the lawyers have come in and did their job and are doing their job, trying to help. We are citizens.
Exactly.
We have paid taxes, probably more than a lot of people that are against the homeless. And so I'm feeling very good about it.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, we're having a mic problem. So, Michael, if you could maybe share a mic with Al or Cynthia, that would be great if you have something to say. Al, back to you.
Okay. Once again, I thank you for having us on the program here. So many things I want to cover in a short time to do it, but if you notice in the paper the last two or three days ago, they have this proposal that's coming up at City Council to put up 44 unacceptable sheds with no air conditioning, no heating. They have a curfew that you can't come in before or after 7 in the morning. It's close between 7 in the morning and 7 at night. And that's unacceptable. And they're going to spend something like $240,000 for 44 sheds that's probably worth $1,000. They're going to pay the poverty of the house $10,000 a month to feed and give people blankets, which they get free already. This proposal is totally unacceptable to many of us, and people need to go to City Hall Tuesday and voice their opinion. You know, without the backing of the people, the city would be able to do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
What time and this coming Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday, the 2nd of October.
Okay. What do you know the time that it's going?
I'm not sure about the exact time yet. I'm sure people can call and find out.
I'll be there
early in the morning. Just wait.
Yeah.
It'll be worth it to see how the city treats homeless people, the money they waste, and I'm sure taxpayers are getting tired of wasting money. They're not solving the problem. They're sweeping stuff under the rug, hoping it'll go away, and we're not going away until it's fixed.
Yeah.
And,
any other comments on this?
Yes. They're going to open up, or trying to open up, the back area, the back end of the block that they bought off of Benita and G Street to house at least, they want to try and get 60 sheds in there, but I can't see how they're going to do that. But anyway, I read the leaflet, the flyers that they are putting out, and the only difference from being in the Village of Hope is they don't have a night curfew. But in the morning at 7 o'clock, you still put out until the 4 o'clock evening time, rain, sleet, or snow, okay? And also they have said that you can have pets if you clean up after them, which is acceptable.
That's great.
But
yeah.
Still, you're held to that. A lot of the homeless people are recyclers, and they do night work. Everybody doesn't work in the day. And therefore, when they work all night and come in, then they're still out on the sidewalk. They still can't go to their beds and go to sleep. So I don't see that as solving anything. So right. I'm pretty much, they have to do better than that.
Yeah, they do. They do. Michael, any comments about that?
You know, what strikes me is that this is, I haven't examined the proposal, but one thing that's immediately obvious is that there are a lot of homeless people in Fresno who need shelter.
Exactly.
And adding a few more sheds is certainly not going to solve the problem.
Yeah. We have another guest here who is, it's...
Kelly Walker.
Kelly, introduce yourself.
My name's Kelly. I work with Al in Food Not Bombs on Saturdays out of the park, 1 o'clock. We throw food at people and see if it sticks. And I guess I'm sorry I was out of the room for a second. I get the gist of what you're talking about. I had a question for both Al and Cynthia, if you don't mind me asking. If I was going to give you $137,000 to spend, do you think you could do something for the homeless with that kind of money? And if so, what would you do with $137,000?
First of all, I get a place like Kmart on Olive and Golden State. It has plenty of space, probably a whole house, probably at least 500 people.
It's going to be 50,000 or something, isn't it?
Oh, it's humongous. Yeah. I would set up a thing kind of like Labor Ready, but eliminate Labor Ready. Instead of making somebody rich, let people go out and let them call like they do at Labor Ready. We go out and work, and for the correct amount of money, instead of Labor Ready getting $25 an hour and giving us $7 or $8, let us make our money, become self-efficient out here. It's easy to do. It's simple. But they don't want that because the middleman wants the money. And that's the problem. Eliminate the middleman, you'll get homeless people off the streets.
Straight up. What about you, Cynthia? If you had $137,000 burning a hole in your pockets, what would you do with it towards the homeless problem anyway?
Well, I would put a large percentage into housing, because when people have their own privacy and can relax and have access to phones, showers, bathrooms, you can set up your agenda to improve yourself and do what you want to do. And also, I would put a certain amount of the money into medical care, which is very inadequate.
Oh, yes. Just for the listener's benefit, I'm curious, too. I guess I get to ask you, if you had $137,000 to spend and you wanted to put it towards a homeless problem, what would you do? Why don't you please give us a call at 559-266-8888. We'd love to hear from you. I'm wondering if there's anybody in the room that would care to take $137,000 and buy a white elephant. A field of goat heads, maybe, in a sweet little corner. Would that work for anybody? I mean, well, I guess it has already been done, so hopefully somebody out there has a better idea. Please give us a call and help us discuss this little conundrum I've got. Al, what else is going on out there besides all this?
Well, we have a dilemma with certain police officers who are requesting that a punishment be opposed to those who patronize homeless people. They have sanctions. They're putting up sanctions against certain homeless people to go to certain businesses and things like that. They got a letter. They forced them to sign. They forced them to do this. Now the business, just like this morning, a guy brought like 30 pair of shoes to give away. The business owner didn't want him there because the police would say something.
Well, he was probably an enabler. You've heard about the enablers. I think the Fresno Bee's been real clear about how certain people are enabling this lifestyle of the rich and, well, no, the lifestyle of the homeless people in Fresno, the street people. What do they call them? Hardcore street? I don't know. They've got different terms for them. I'm not sure what they say behind closed doors. We do have a caller, and if we can just get that caller's input. Hello there.
Hi, Paul in Fresno.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
All right. Thanks. I'd split up the money pretty much evenly, whatever it is, about 60, almost 70,000 almost.
The sum total would be 137,000.
Right. So whatever that figure is, I'd go for short-term needs. Well, I'd just go ahead and do the so-called enabling thing and just help these people live some better lives here in the short term, so they don't have to suffer through the cold nights.
How's that going to help the homeless problem? How's it going to solve the problem that the city of Fresno is trying to solve now?
Well, it's going to solve it quickly, because those people who have to live in the cold winter time are maybe going to be a little less grouchy, so when they go face-to-face with a cop, maybe the cop won't assume the person's just a mean and nasty character, but has just had a pretty rough night sleeping in 30-degree weather. People are sleeping warm, it's better for everybody. It's better for them, of course, and for everyone who sees them.
You're not talking about these people still staying in downtown Fresno, are you?
Wherever they like to go, pretty much.
Okay.
The one area was mentioned was pretty good, Kmart on Olive.
That's brilliant.
A large facility. The other half, I go long term and run a campaign for a mayor to challenge the current mayor and either threaten him enough that he may change his mind, or get another mayor who will give us an independent police auditor, so there's a long-term solution there. somebody who's going to keep an eye out on civil rights, because that's going to affect all our rights, too. But an IPA would help, you know.
Do you think we could draft Catherine Campbell?
I'm all for it, myself, but it's up to her, of course. I haven't heard any thumbs up from Catherine Campbell on it, but...
Cynthia, what would you discuss with Paul here as far as trying to spend that money sensibly?
From what my mic isn't working very.
Oh, it is. You just speak into it.
We'll be good. I spent a little bit of money to buy a new mic for KFCF too.
There you are. But no, she's good.
Okay, good.
I didn't hear all of his, but what I did hear, it's very feasible what he's talking about. You know, whether it's workable according to the politics of Fresno City is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fresno, when I was in high school, we learned about filibustering, and I think Fresno is pretty much the king of filibustering.
I don't know. Michael Richard, do you mind pitching in here? Do you have something to say? We've got all ears here.
Well, in terms of what the city can do with its money, the city has a budget, an annual budget of just about $1 billion now. And it really needs to take some of that money and devote it to helping its people find housing. And really, that's my thought. The city should look into a housing first model, because the primary problem that homeless people have is they don't have a place to live. And that's certainly where I think it should focus its efforts into spending some of its money on behalf of the homeless rather than doing some of the thing in its past, that it's done in the past, which was spending some of its money in ways that were deeply hurtful to homeless people.
That's our tax money at work. Now, of course, I'm speaking a little tongue-in-cheek when I mentioned that $137,000. We all know that's money that's been wasted on a plot of goat heads down there off G Street and Church that nobody's going to get to use. But... somebody got $137,000 for a piece of property with no development on it. I you know, good bully for them.
I have another comment, if I may, please.
Please, Paul.
Before I finish up, one last thing I'd like to add is, rather than building something from the ground up, investing in huge costs for an architect, and we do have abandoned government facilities. I'm aware of one in southeast Fresno. It's not where a lot of homeless people are. And I would never want to get homeless people going somewhere where they don't want to go. But there's at least one in that part of town, southeast. And we already have these empty buildings. So why build a new one when, you know, there are facilities that can be converted cheaply. And, you know, just let's get the job done. That's really what I'm saying.
That's
thanks a lot.
The right sentiment. Thanks, Paul. I guess I shouldn't break this news here, but my understanding is the city's secret plan, where, as you say, the homelessness and lack of homes, when they build the $60 million river downtown, they're going to put in houseboats, and we'll have boat people instead of homeless on the street.
There you go.
Cynthia, how would you like to live on a houseboat in downtown Fresno?
Not really, because it would probably be a lot of pollution.
Yeah, a lot of manure. It's piling high out there. Al, what's going on with you?
Oh, I don't know. Another issue I have is the medical issue, which you know quite a bit about that. We've been through that the last month or so, and something wrong with that picture, and I think you got the best idea.
I've seen too many nightmares going down in the healthcare system around here. Everybody needs a little help, and... sooner or later, hopefully, the healthcare system's a problem for everybody up and down the board, with or without insurance. You're almost better off without insurance. It's terrible what you see in that movie Sicko, but certain facilities are definitely not providing the services that they even state that they'll provide. So it's a treacherous field out there. I hope they get together, and some of these clinics, I believe Sequoia Health Center is providing some services in the near future for poverty. Stricken patients, so to speak, and I think there's a lot of positive outlooks, but there's just a lot of bad things going on too, and it's terrible.
I know we need a solution to the problem, though, and hopefully by this time, within 30 days, I hope we can get it all fixed.
Well, you know, within 60 days, Alan Autry was going to fix that last problem. I'm pretty sure the secret plan with the river is going to be the grand hurrah at the end. Everything will work out.
Well, it wouldn't be bad if they put some catfish in there.
Well, I could do that myself.
No, we can feed ourselves then, too, you know.
Michael, what do we got to look forward to in the near future? What kind of hearings are forthcoming? What kind of developments do you foresee in the case?
Well, the most important recent development is that the end of July, I believe, beginning of August, Judge Wanger certified a class for purposes of both protecting people from having this happen in the future and also getting some compensation for past harms. And so now we are representing, in addition to Al and Cynthia and our other named plaintiffs, everyone in the city of Fresno, or every homeless person in the city of Fresno who lost property in one of these sweeps really over the last three or so years. And so our next task is to get the word out to people, make sure that people understand their rights to be part of the suit or not to be part of the suit, make sure that people tell us how to contact them so that if we do end up getting some compensation for people, the people who lost their property, who had to sleep without any sort of bedding or shelter, and sometimes got very sick, who lost incredibly valuable items, items of incredibly value to them, ranging from personal papers to wedding rings to locks of their child's hair, really do, although nothing can make up for that type of loss, get some sort of compensation.
Is there any... some people, unfortunately, are not going to live to see the results of this lawsuit. Are some of our lost loved ones... What hope for justice do they have at this point? I'm speaking, of course, of Pamela Kincaid, some other people that have suffered and moved on. What upside is there for what they've gone through in post-mortem, I guess?
Well, you know, all I can say is that our named plaintiffs really are a brave bunch and a good-hearted bunch because they are putting themselves out, putting themselves on the line for everybody, for all of the unnamed class members, and to make a point. And unfortunately, our lead plaintiff, Pamela Kincaid, died recently. She was the victim of assault, and then she fell from a balcony at the medical facility where she was recuperating. And all I can say is that it was wonderful that she was our lead plaintiff, and the case will remain Kincaid versus the City of Fresno in her memory and to honor her bravery and the heart she put into it.
It's got a good place in history, too. There's also been, I think, some coincidental retribution, almost, it seems like, around the time of these court hearings. Certain homeless people, I think even Cynthia, had a strange encounter outside of her tent. I was hearing stories from people that were contacted. Just strangely enough, odd little arrests and hassles have gone down, seeming to me kind of timed around these court hearings. I'm sure that's just my imagination, though.
Not. We're getting ready to wrap things up here. It's been really, really informative, and we look forward to hearing from Kelly and from Al and Cynthia and Michael again as they establish a presence here on KFCF. And I'm sure that you can read the papers, the Community Alliance being the most truthful, about the latest developments in the lawsuit brought by the homeless and the ACLU against the City of Fresno. So it's been a great pleasure for me to host for Pam. Pam will be back next week on another Street Heat show. Thank you, Mike, who's been at the controls and coordinating everything. Thanks, Kelly, for stepping up to the plate and helping with this interview.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I was glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Friday, September 28th.